You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Another of the irreversible consequences of the Newtown tragedy has taken place in the gun industry itself. Pre-Newtown, annual gun sales hovered around 9 million, but in the first 11 months of this year, the year since Newtown, sales are estimated at 19 million. The New York Times and others looking at gun laws have found that about 1,500 state gun bills were introduced since the shooting. 109 of those became law. Two-thirds of those new laws actually loosened gun restrictions, though, while the other third made them tighter. Robert Draper is contributing writer for the New York Times Magazine, where this week he writes about the legislative battle over gun control since Newtown. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, John.
So the dynamics here are really setting a relatively passive pro-gun control population that may be numerically superior to the gun owners, but the gun owners are a passionate, very politically active group, and that's what's played out over the last year.
I think that's right. I think that what we're seeing is a gap in intensity between, I guess, what you would call Second Amendment absolutists, people who don't want to see any changes at all in existing gun regulations, and those who do. The latter, as you say, may constitute greater numbers, but they're not single-issue voters, and there has never yet been a case where any legislator has felt electoral wrath for not passing more gun laws. It's always been the opposite case.
And that played out this year specifically. Legislators were punished for advocating gun control and not punished for advocating, you know, another approach. Let's look at the case in Colorado.
Colorado is the obvious case in point. In 2012, a very tough series of gun restrictions were passed and signed by the Democratic governor, John Hickenlooper. This year, however, a recall effort was successfully underway for two of the state senators who were key figures in the passage of that bill, and a third state senator resigned under a threat of a recall. So if there has been anything along the lines of a chilling effect vis-a-vis gun violence laws, that certainly is the case in point episode.
And yet President Obama in the Rose Garden, I remember after his obvious disgust over nothing really happening in Congress, said that legislators will be punished in 2014. Your reporting suggests there's no evidence of that whatsoever.
Well, it's early yet. It is true, John, that for the first time, the gun control movement has more appealing figures who are enjoy better financial backing than they did in the past. Whether that actually is going to translate in a it won't happen with Jeff Flake or Kelly Ayotte, but those are two senators who voted against the Manchin-Toomey gun control universal background checks bill. When they come up for reelection, and if they feel the electoral wrath of voters who disapprove of the fact that they didn't vote for the legislation, only when something like that happens can I think we say that the tide is really beginning to turn.
So two-thirds of the new laws loosened gun restrictions. What kind of loosening are we talking about?
Well, they in some cases they'll allow a longer window or something, or rather a shorter window. If, for example, you cannot find anything wrong in a person's background within a 24-hour period, you have to sell them a gun. There are some that exempt certain individuals from having to submit to background checks. There are others as well that allow people who, say, are veterans, have had some mental issues that have allowed them to buy guns where before they weren't able to do so. It's a very, very mixed bag, and there are some states on the that have passed more gun restrictions and loosened existing restrictions at the same time.
What about the increased restrictions? What form have they typically taken?
The increased restrictions are typically the kinds of guns that can be produced or can be purchased, the kinds of magazine clips, the capacity of them. That's the case in Colorado as well, and actual extension of background checks to cover, say, internet purchases and gun shows.
So there was a lot of discussion that you know, in the wake of Newtown, in fact, some of the responses would be to extend the use of guns as a defensive measure inside places like elementary schools and other public facilities. What's been the fate of that notion, very controversial and explosive when some members of the NRA even suggested it. But how has that played out?
Well, it hasn't played. I mean, in a couple of states, that has actually been under legislative consideration. But Wayne LaPierre, the executive director of the NRA, is who you're referring to, who gave that famous speech in the wake of Newtown saying the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And, you know, what he was pitching was having armed security at every school. There are a number of people who are, in fact, in support of that. But it was not part of the legislative package that ultimately was recommended by the White House, and it never had serious consideration on Capitol Hill.
The pattern of gun restrictions versus the loosening of restrictions that you've observed over the past year, a surprise to you or pretty much as you would have expected?
Well, it hasn't been a surprise because you have to sort of look state by state. I mean, Colorado, for example, the table was very much set for legislative remedies. This was where an awful tragedy had occurred, two of them really, in Columbine and then in Aurora. You had Democrats in controlling the legislature as well as in the state house. In other states, it hasn't been as hospitable. That's why, you know, on a federal level, because Republicans tend to be more averse to gun legislation and the fact that they control the House of Representatives, you haven't seen any movement.
Robert Draper, contributing writer for the New York Times Magazine. He writes about the legislative battle over gun control since the Newtown tragedy. Robert, thanks so much.
It's my pleasure.
Later this hour, the evolving, changing, healing, but never reversible process of grieving, national and personal. We'll talk about the call from Newtown families for an act of kindness from all Americans in remembrance of their losses. Later in the hour, what could be the meaning and power in an unexpected act of kindness?
Hi, my name is Christopher Nunez from Miami. And one day I was riding public transportation in the Dominican Republic, and the driver did not announce that he was going to change his route. So now I was going to have to walk like 7 miles to get to my house, and I was very hungry on top of that. And at that exact moment, just like magic, this lady next to me turned her head towards me, and she looked into her purse and she gave me $2, and then she pulled some grapes and she gave me some grapes and she said, "And if you're hungry, here's some grapes." That act of kindness changed my life, and I will never forget.
Share your unforgettable stories of an unexpected act of kindness that touched your life at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can follow us on Twitter at The Takeaway, all one word, at The Takeaway. More on Newtown and acts of kindness and the process of grieving later this hour here on The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by Lumosity.com, the brain training program designed by neuroscientists and used by 50 million people, created to improve memory and attention. More at Lumosity.com.